Tonight's podcast is brought to you by Dell and Dell's Kitty Cat Lounge Convenience Store.
Hi, Dell here. Ever since Dell's Kitty Cat Lounge got busted for prostitution, Dell here came up with a bright idea to sell conveniences.
Hey, I'm Dell, and I got a lot of conveniences to sell. I got things such as pocket knives, Copenhagen,
Nesquik, a whole goddamn truckload of it. We had these two sissy Susies coming in our store trying to give us these Vidya Games flyers, and I'm like, if it ain't Nesquik and Copenhagen, we don't fuck with it.
Lucky Pete's Pirate Slots is the last Vidya game I played, and I was down at the Golden Shire Casino. I lost a fucking marriage over that slot machine game. So now I'm down here slinging fucking Nesquik, Copenhagen, like it's going out of goddamn style.
You like hot deli food?
Yeah.
We got two wide varieties of two items, Nesquik and Copenhagen.
We got fucking milk you can sip and O'Hagan you can pack your lip with.
Come on down to Dell and Dell's Kitty Cat Lounge Convenience Store, unless you're a fucking pussy.
Then take your little sissy ass down to Kangaroo and see how they treat you. They don't treat you, they beat you.
Welcome back to that debaucherous time of week known as the Good Old Gamers Podcast. We're back to normal, I guess, around here. I'm Lyle McClendon, and back from the dead, Brandon Gentry.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
I did.
Thanks for leaving me hanging. I hope your fucking dick is chafed from all the fucking you've put upon yourself.
It is. It is quite.
Happy to have you back, though.
Yeah, happy to be back.
It was really weird last week. Well, I know it was only one episode, but it was really awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad Duncan came on, but I don't know. It just wasn't the same.
And this is not going to be the last time, unfortunately.
It happens.
College has put a quite the fucking to me.
I have a feeling you're going to elaborate a little more on that this evening, aren't you?
Yeah, you want me to go ahead and knock some of that? I gotta get some shit off my chest.
Let me just say it's September 3rd, 2016, yeah. Episode 73, and right off the bat, Brandon rage rant to us a little bit.
Yeah, fucking college. All right.
Fucking college.
First shit that's kind of chafed my ass. I'm having to take philosophy. God knows why. I mean, I could tell you why, but it's stupid.
Does God know why?
Well, I mean, that's a philosophical question.
Ah! Yeah, it is.
Okay, remember prefaces was saying, I appreciate philosophy. I was into it when I was like 20, you know, somewhere around there. When I was finding
smoking
myself.
Smoking weed.
Yeah, and I was asking the deeper questions. But now that I'm a 30-year-old father with very little time, and I go to a school for grown people at 8 a.m. in the morning, and we're arguing for nearly a fucking hour over the question of, what is a chair? What is a chair? How do you define a chair, Lyle?
A chair?
A chair. How do you define a chair?
Do you want me to define it as a philosophy major, or define it as...
However you fucking want to.
It's a... an instrument used for sitting upon. It has four legs that are tethered to the ground completely at all times, usually, I guess. Or it could have it's a chair.
Like,
what the... yeah, I can already tell this is going to piss me off, too. It's a chair. You sit in it. It sits nicely, elegantly, flush with the table, usually. Maybe against a bar. Maybe you're sitting in a bunch, like at a recital or in a theater or...
So is a beanbag a chair, Lyle?
Yeah.
Is a toilet a chair? Is a horse a chair? A horse has four legs and you sat on it. Is it a fucking chair?
Well, I mean, its hooves can be used for glue to make chairs.
I understand the point the man was trying to make, but I'm like, God damn it, I'm 30 years old. I ain't got time to be arguing at 8 a.m. with a fucking doctor about what a goddamn chair is. If you don't believe me, it's a fucking chair. Go sit on a goddamn wood chipper and call it a throne, for fuck's sake.
It's just kind of funny because my whole deal with it is I'm like, I kind of would be like, what the fuck is this going to do in real life? Like, all this is going to do is make me look like an asshole to somebody I work with. They're like,
yeah,
that motherfucker argued with me about what the definition of a goddamn chair was for half an hour. I'm like, I don't want to work with him anymore. Like,
I think we're going to schedule that fucker for holidays. Like,
philosophy, if it's going to be like that, the entire class should just be called The Art of Being... of losing friends quickly, 101, how to be a jerk off.
I've realized that the majority of philosophy is just nothing but being a pedantic asshole. Just arguing, just nitpicking over fucking bullshit. And
it, you're being a real hipster about
the,
this.
The whole like basis of the why people put energy into it, it's there's a law. I can't think of the name of the law, but it basically states that it takes an order of magnitude more energy to disprove bullshit than it does to make it up. And that's the whole basis of philosophy. Like, it's really easy for me to say, oh, well, how do you fucking define a wheel? And then I can just sit there and you can try to explain it all goddamn day long. And be like, well, that's not a fucking wheel because I'm an idiot. You know?
The guy that made the movie Rubber probably was a philosophy major. He's like, I'm going to make this wheel do so much more. It's actually not even a wheel, it's just a tire. But
so, yeah, I've gotten too old and curmudgeonly for philosophy. And then there's this, like, this 20-year-old guy in there. It probably would have been me, you know, back then. But he was just, like, he was trying so hard to be philosophical in the class during this debate. And he was just throwing out words that you could tell he didn't know what they mean. He's like, well, what about ultimate reality? I'm like, what about you don't know what the fuck you're talking about? Like,
How about you sit the fuck down before I shame you?
I was pleased that the teacher did kind of call him out on that. It's like, I appreciate you trying to tickle my philosopher fancies, but you don't know what you're talking about.
Nice. Nice.
Well,
I read something on YouTube and read it.
Yeah. I read something on the YouTube. Another thing is I'm taking my psychology course online. And let me just throw this out there. When you take a course online, why are you taking it online?
For the convenience.
And do you give a fuck about what you're taking online?
Generally, no.
Exactly. No one gives a fuck about what they're taking online.
Usually online classes, though, are not convenient at all.
Well, the one I've taken them in the past. I've taken them in the past, and they were all right. Like, you fucking have a multiple choice test at the end of every chapter, module, or whatever. And sometimes you had to, like, turn in a paper or something over the internet. Not a big deal. But generally, you take a course online because you don't give a fuck. Even the people who are taking purely online courses, very few of them actually give a fuck. They're just wanting that piece of paper. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a fuck. If I'm taking it online, I'm taking it online so I can fucking put a minimal amount of work into it and cheat on my test because I'll have my book open at the test. Don't fucking tell me no one else does that because you got Google and you got a book right in front of you.
Do they really expect you to use the honor system at your house? You know, like,
right.
Most people right before they're logging on to psychology just got off spanktube.com. Yeah. You know, like, there is no honor in that.
Hell no.
Nothing but shame.
So,
bringing shame.
My psychology course, which is vastly different than my wife's. We're both taking psychology online. We just got two different instructors. She got the normal half-assed, what you expect, psychology course. You do your module, you do take your multiple choice test, and sometimes you have to participate in like an online discussion board. Not much. Every one of my modules has six to eight fucking assignments that you have the quote unquote option of doing, which if you want a 100 or an A plus in that class, you got to do everything. And it's all horse shit like, hey, make a 20 question test. Like, you make a test. You create the answers and the questions. And
so you're doing the teacher's job for them?
Well, it's kind of ingenious because of the fuckery involved. Because by having to make questions, you actually have to look through your book and read the shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I can almost want to give him a thumbs up on that, except I don't give a fuck about psychology. It's never going to help me in what I'm doing. So here I am having to put together a goddamn PowerPoint and, 10 answer multiple choice or 10 question multiple choice test, 20 question true false test. They limit you on, like he says, you can't use but two definitions. So definitions are the easiest fucking ones to do, because you just look at the bold words and be like, oh, is this right? Nope, you're fucking stupid. So it's so much horseshit for a goddamn online class. It took me like 5 fucking hours. No, it was more than 5 hours a day to do all my work for an online goddamn class. And introductory class at that. It's psychology, is it 101? I don't know.
How do they expect a fucking grown-ass person with a major workload and a family and shit to be able to do all that bullshit?
They don't. They expect goddamn high school kids. The whole fucking system is set up just to shove high school kids through it. They don't give a... If you work, they tell you to fuck right off. If it ain't fucking high school kids and that's quick, they don't fuck with it.
They wouldn't do very good down at Dell and Dell's Kitty Cat Lounge Emporium, which I heard was a pretty good store, by the way.
I think so. I mean, they were kind of dicks to us, but...
I like Nesquik, not so much Copenhagen, but...
Yeah.
I like pocket knives. It sucks, though. I mean, talking about the college thing, that's how it kind of was a few years ago, and, well, it's been like 5 now, but when I quit, but my grandma... I was almost done. My grandma got real sick before she passed away, and like trying to juggle that, working full time, still, and then having to go to school at night and do online classes. Like, I'm just like, goddamn, like you said, some of them teachers would send you home with like 3-4 hours worth of work a night that you got to turn in, the next day or within a few days. And it's just like, god damn it.
And it's always like the teachers teaching shit that no one's ever gonna use. They're because they got to feel important for some reason. I don't understand it. Like my biology class, yeah, I got a lot of work in there, but it's all like, it's warranted because it's a fairly difficult field that if you're taking biology, you're probably gonna fucking use it. Most people taking philosophy are just doing it because like humanities was boring. Like I took that because my other option, humanities, is boring as fuck. But psychology, same thing. I have to take it because college has to milk time and money out of you somehow.
Oh yeah,
you can get out of there half the time and they just taught you what the fuck you needed to know.
Dude, one of the biggest wastes I ever went on in college was the first time I went right after I graduated. I took won't name any names, but I took a professor at Wallace and took recording techniques and recording arts,
mm-hmm.
music studio shit. I went in the studio one time and learned how to fuck with levels, and that was it. The rest of the time, me and the other two people in that class spent the entire semester sitting in our instructor's office talking about fucking Van Halen and Steve Vai.
Wow.
And I'm just like, wow, I spent like $300 and even bought a fucking book
that
never even opened once in that goddamn class.
You mentioned about, working full time and going to college. This Justin Bieber looking fuck behind me in my speech class, I overheard him saying, it's so hard going to school for 12 hours or working 3 hours a day at Walmart. I just wanted to turn around and just punch him in the fucking face.
And be like, that's hard, motherfucker.
Yeah. You just fucking step into my shoes for a goddamn day, you pussy. He's the type driving around. It's like, 2016 Mustang that his parents bought him. There's no way, obviously, he could afford it working at Walmart, working for peanuts for 3 hours a day. Thinking he's got a hard life because he has to work and go to college.
Oh, tough baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to say something. I'd be like, dude, I ate pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
I can't help but think of Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore, rather. Yeah. No.
Shit for breakfast.
Shooter McGavin.
And I'll be waiting on you in the parking lot.
Oh, fuck.
Man, but that sucks.
Yeah.
Do you want a beer in a minute?
I might take you up on that.
I got a few in there.
I guess we should talk about some news.
Is that the end of your rage rant?
Yep.
It's pretty much confirmed at this point. Cartridge based format for NX.
Yep.
Seen a thing yesterday, Wall Street Journal.
Though I really have a hard time calling them cartridges at this point. It's SD cards.
Yeah. It's going to, I imagine it'll probably end up looking a lot like a 3DS game.
Yeah. To me, it's got to at least be like the size of a Game Boy Advance. That's like the smallest I consider a cartridge. Beyond that, below that, it's no longer. It's a fucking memory card.
I think they might be a little bit bigger than normal. It'll be some of that wonky Nintendo shit. There won't be anything else.
It's gonna be that shit that your little kids like put on the edge of your shelf or something, and it falls in your goddamn ventilation.
Yeah, it's like it almost looks like a floppy disk, probably. They're just like some hacker hid this in the early 90s. It's got a virus file meant to take down Windows 95 on it. It's obsolete, but still deadly.
Yeah, might as well knock the NX shit out of the way. New report says the NX's removable controllers will feature Wii-style motion sensors and vibration.
Mm.
I'm going to put that vibration to good use.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it senses my motion.
I bet it will. The motion
of instead of screaming pain. Stop, stranger danger.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. There's a new Friday the 13th trailer just come out of PAX West, and it's a kill scene compilation. That's nice. Out. I urge everybody to check it out. This is fucking brutal, and it's amazing.
I haven't seen it yet.
Makes me look forward to butchering certain counselors in that game. Pretty pumped about it because there's a bunch of different shit. There's a few different character models they use, and like they kind of use. There's one dude where he takes the girl and throws her on the floor, and there's a fire burning, and just puts her fucking head in the fire and holds it there with his foot.
Nice.
And she's just like, aah! It's amazing.
Now they just need to incorporate it into virtual reality with like real life effects where like you actually get your face set on fire.
That'd be amazing.
Hell yeah, it would.
Ugh. They like it's got a little kind of like that scent box thing they were going to come out with for computer like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, burnt flesh.
Yeah, I just remember everybody was like, man, that'd be kind of cool. I'm like, you want to play Resident Evil with that shit? Like, you want to smell putrid flesh like walking toward you?
He was like, you want to go to Pornhub with that shit?
Makes your house smell like a fish market. Smells like fish and baby oil in here.
Speaking of fish and baby oil, Lindsay Lohan's 2014 suit against Rockstar got ruled in favor of Rockstar.
I had that on my list as well. The thing, they said that there is no character in that game that looks like Lindsay Lohan, and then I read one of the people for Rockstar was just kind of like, Lindsay Lohan just wished they looked like the character that we had the game.
I mean, there's a lot of similarities, but at the end of the day, they
Coke bloat overrules all, though. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I mean,
can't hide the Coke bloat.
First Amendment applies to video games, so they didn't outright call the character Lindsay Lohan, so it's under parody law, if anything.
Yeah, that is true. There's a Duke Nukem 3D remake heading to Xbox One, PS4, and PC.
Nice.
It's the just updated original, but that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Speaking of remakes, Sega's looking to remaster Shenmue 1 and 2.
Really?
They're saying right now, though, the size of the games is an issue. In order to do a proper remake, it would take a lot of resources. Namely, voice acting. Because, I mean, if they just re-amped the voice acting and let the rest of it the same, I'd be satisfied.
Dude, if they were to get, like, actual Hollywood stars to say shit, like, I'm trying to... Who's somebody I can do a good impression of? Like... Trying to be funny on the spot.
I can't think of his name now. I'm having a brain fart. The Independence Day guy. The
Jeff
Divide.
Goldblum?
Yes. He needs to be...
It'd be like Jeff Goldblum.
It needs to be Rio. Tell me about these Chinese people.
Hello, yo. I need to know... where the sailors are at.
Right. It'll take 3 hours to ask anything. The game, the time to complete the game jumps from like 40 hours to 80.
Well, to actually discover where to go, you must seek out the
water.
Three blades. And the water rolls off to the left side of the hand. Hi, I'm Jeff Goldblum. Give him a cold. Dude, that'd be so fucking terrible. Hello, God, yo. did you see the Nintendo Direct this week?
No.
Mario Maker is coming for the 3DS.
Oh, I did see about that, yeah.
And they announced a new whole amiibo line for Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. There's an 8-bit Link, which I'm fucking uber excited about.
Ocarina of Time Link.
Another Toon Link with the wand. And Toon Zelda. I'll end up with all of them, I'm sure. That's the only amiibos I'm really interested in at this point.
Oh, that Super Mario Maker on 3DS is going to have no online sharing. No big deal, though, because you're just going to get fucking... downvoted into obliteration unless you're a YouTube, star.
I think they said it's going to come with 100 pre-made Nintendo levels.
And you can download them, you just can't share yours.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still a never-ending barrage.
I'm still kind of just pissed about the way they handled that, because unless you're just some kind of well-known YouTuber or Redditor who's getting tons of people playing your level, your shit just gets buried and then kicked off the servers. That sucks. Because I was wanting to share that one level I made with you, and now it won't even let you re-upload it. Like, even if you change shit in your level and try to re-upload it, you have to completely make it from scratch again in order to re-upload it. And then the same thing's going to happen to it eventually, so... Fuck that shit.
One thing has just turned me off. Everybody I've talked to says, hell, just about... Well, you were one that told me it, too, but I've heard more people than you, as I'm trying to say, but they've talked about the... it's all, like, gimmick levels.
It is. It really is. There's a few that's not. The quote-unquote difficult levels that are popular aren't fucking difficult at all. The few... You have to go out of your way to find the real difficult levels. Like the one I made, which, isn't like, it's not item abuse difficult, but it's just, I thought mine was a decent ode to difficult Mario. And, it's just, if you make a level like that, you're not going anywhere because people don't like difficulty anymore. Especially, I guess, the Mario fan base these days are too accustomed to white Tanuki suits.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, what's the point of even playing Mario with that kind of shit?
I don't know. I
mean, I understand if you're like a 2 or 3 year old kid playing, maybe.
Yeah, my daughter loves it, but at the same time, I fucking hate it.
We didn't have that option.
No. If they would have made it where you could just turn the option off, like you start a whole new game and you have the option at the beginning of the game, do you want that shit on or do you want it off? If you ever turn it on, then it stays on forever, I guess you'd say, and like your shit's is, you're basically got a null and void file because you've cheated.
Bullshit, Nintendo.
Only the last bit of news, and it's not anything official. There's nothing to back this up. This is just pure observation. Last few days of driving by here, our local depot park here in Coleman, Pokemon Go is dead.
I haven't really been seeing anybody
out. The fad has gone.
I know a bunch of people that's, they just recently announced like a buddy system and some other shit. Like, I guess they've announced second gen Pokemon are coming. And I've already seen people posting about it and they're just like, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's typical cell phone game fashion, though. Those things do not, those trends don't last long.
No, they're already playing their Flappy Crushes and whatever now. Whatever the next fad is.
Flappy Crush sounds like such a gross game. Sounds like a sweaty game.
Yeah, it does.
Flappy Crush.
All I gotta say to those who try to defend it as a legit Pokemon game is, ha-ha! Totoso.
Two words. I don't like to say... Suck it.
I'm not the one that likes to say a Totoso, but a fucking a Totoso.
when this may not be news by now because it's pretty obvious because it's in the news, but I'm just going to say this. I recently picked up a copy of No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And it sucks shit.
Yep.
Pretty badly. It is pretty fucking boring.
That's what news. I've gotten out of it.
That's some news for you.
Yeah.
So I think I seen a thing where they were saying on Steam, I think it's like 90% of people are asking for refunds and shit now.
Nice.
And like they're actually having to cut off refunds. Like they're telling people, oh, if you've played more than 50 hours, we're not giving you a refund.
Well, Steam, you can't play more than 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the refund policy.
Did not know that.
Yep. Yeah, it might be 7 days of disowning it or 2 hours, something like that. I know 2 hours is the cutoff. If you play more for 2 hours, you don't get a refund. But yeah, this is another shining example of why I don't pre-order games anymore. Because if I was a pre-ordering type, I would have pre-ordered it because it looked promising. And it was not.
It is.
It did not deliver.
Far from it. Well, I guess that's it for news.
That's it for news.
The weather at 6.
It's raining, man.
It's raining, man. Hallelujah. I guess I'm going to put something in our hands tonight.
Oh, I want it in my hand.
I've actually been playing my fucking Game Boy and trying to do my civil duties. Believe it or not.
Is there any Game Fest news we want to get out of the way?
Yeah, actually, we could. We need vendor spots. We haven't really even made an official announcement for that yet.
Yeah, I know we've got some promise. We need to get together and figure out how many we got before we do anything.
We need to do that ASAP so yeah. We can at
we'll
least
do that
go.
Tonight.
Yeah. I know I can probably say we're going to have at least 2. I would think.
We have got it drawn up now. Ain't no big deal talking about this on there. We've got 3 single tables, 1 double. I definitely want to get a legit game store here for the double.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that works out best.
None of you vagabond gamers.
Yeah. Sorry. See, we've got a Neo Geo and a Jaguar lined up.
We
do. So that'll be there. What else is there? If any of y'all want flyers to put up for us, like if you in your work lunchroom, anything, let us know. I'll be happy to give you as many as you need to put up.
Indeed.
Or if you can print them, no big deal. I can just email you the flyer and you can print it yourself. Let us know about that because the more people we get in Game Fest, the bigger next year's Game Fest is going to be.
The bigger it is. The bigger it is this year is the more expansion we have next year to grow.
Yep, it's going
to
be that way every year.
That's the plan, is to eventually get this to a full-blown con, essentially.
Yeah. And I think if we hit the Civic Center next year, I think we'll be at small con level. And then, you know, it'll take a few years of rolling forward, but I'd like to eventually do BJCC or Von Braun.
That'd be amazing by the time we're like 35 or something to be like running the big one in Alabama. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be quite a feat.
Yep.
But it can be done. And it can only be done with the help of listeners like you.
Yep.
To make a small donation to the Good Old Gamers Podcast, please contact us at Lyle or Brennan, Good Old Gamers Podcast. Warning, all donations are considered donation only. You do not own stake in the show.
Yeah, and donations could be form of video games or TVs or anything.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to say. If any of our local listeners were to have any spare CRT TVs around, we're probably going to need, we're saying right now, 6 to 10 more.
Yeah.
So if anybody's got any, even if it's just borrowing them for the day, we're not asking to keep them or anything. Yeah. That would be most helpful and most appreciated.
And we're probably going to raid the local thrift store in a couple weeks. So we're going to have TVs we need. Just the more that doesn't come out of our bottom line, the more money we got to go towards the next Game Fest. What else is there? If you work anywhere or have any connections with local businesses that would like to donate for like door prizes and stuff, we could use that.
Indeed.
I don't think we're going to be able to give away systems at the door anymore. Not this year, because I just haven't came across any great deals. Man, they're getting bought up. This time last year, Craigslist was still kind of the wild west. There wasn't as much of a presence of resellers on there. Now you look on there,
everybody's
a goddamn reseller on there.
Craigslist is a fucking hostile place to buy video games.
Yeah, and like the majority of it, and I hate to fucking talk bad about it, but the majority of it is these small game stores around here. They're all over that shit, and I mean they sit there all day on that shit buying shit up. That's all you see on there is their advertisements now. It sucks.
Yeah, it's just. It takes a lot of the fun out of it, because, I mean, if I wanted to buy that shit from a video game store, you know, I'd probably
not look on Craigslist.
Went
for
to
one.
A video game store initially instead of being on Craigslist.
Exactly.
It's fucking aggravating.
I can't blame them, because I understand their business and it's a good source, but at the same time, you're fucking it up for us.
I found a couple things that were amazing, and like somebody posted a PlayStation 2 kiosk. Like a few weeks ago, $75, and it worked, and it was slick. I hit them up like literally 15 minutes after that post went live, and they said they done had like 4 people buying it. Well, I guess I'm assuming it was the same person that bought it, because he posted pictures of it. Some dude from the Huntsville game or North Alabama video game site bought it off of Craigslist from that guy in Huntsville. And turned around and was like selling it on Facebook for like $250. And there are people like offering him like $200 and a fucking Xbox One and shit for it. And I'm just like, damn, man, like, what a fucking asshole you are. I wanted that just for my personal amusement in my house. That'd been cool to have at Game Fest, you know?
Yeah. At the same time, though, that one, I wouldn't consider that a huge loss, because when it comes to kiosks, it was pretty goddamn basic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the old Nintendo kiosks were fucking glorious.
Oh, yeah.
That PlayStation was just like a fucking shelf for the PlayStation and a CRT.
Yeah. And a fucking pretty PlayStation light at the top of it.
Yeah.
That was basically it.
But
still, for $75, that's cheap.
That is. I mean, a PlayStation and a CRT alone is nearly worth that. I think that's about it. I don't know if anything else we need to cover this week.
No, I'm going to, if you're listening and you're planning on helping out, we're going to maybe try to have like a meeting up next Saturday and go over a lot of the finer details with everybody, which I think I got most of that covered, because I talked to David today and he's going to be a lot of the help that we're going
to
have.
If you'd like to volunteer, let us know. I would like to get a list of people who would be game exchangers, so we can have the games being exchanged throughout the day whenever people want to. If we don't get enough help, we'll have to do it on like an hourly or half hourly basis. And I don't like locking them in like that, but we need someone who can do that, because if we just leave the games out there, they're going to get stolen.
Oh yeah.
That's just how it is. So people to do that for us.
We're going to need some couple people for security purposes too, just people to help watch.
Yeah, just keep an eye out.
Yeah. I guess that's it for that.
Yep. So what's in my hands now?
What is in your hands is a ye olde classic, Brandon. Super Mario Land 2, the 6 golden coins.
Nice.
One of the best, if in my opinion, probably the best Game Boy game, in my opinion, other than Link's Awakening, of course.
I'd say it's the best game of all time. Game Boy platformer.
It is, definitely. It beats the shit off Super Mario Land.
It does.
You know, Super Mario Land was such a weird departure, you know, from the normal series. And
it was very weird.
Super Mario Land 2.
And the graphics were awful.
Oh, they were really bad.
I mean, Mario was like a pin dot.
The music was so bad. Funny we bring that up, because I actually found Brandon's original copy of this that I got from him.
Came out of some young man's lost luggage at an airport. Yeah, has this thing traveled. Even has my faded initials on the back still.
Oh, Big Gus.
Super Mario Land, this side up.
That's the It's the director's cut edition. Yeah. This side up. The untold story of Super Mario Land.
That's going to be another. That's going to be like a fucking Carter's documentary next. We're going to see it on fucking Kickstarter. This side up, the Carter's documentary.
And for only $998, you too can be involved somehow.
Yeah, I'm just gonna give you a worthless credit or something. That's why half that shit works. But yeah, tell us proselytize, brother.
Like I said, probably the best platformer on Game Boy by far. Super Mario Land 2 kind of tried to go back to the basics with Mario a little bit, but changed it up still. It's still a really weird Mario game. It's also notable for being the last side-scrolling Mario game until 2006's New Super Mario Brothers.
I never thought of it that way.
It was the last one. 13 and a half years.
Yeah, because next was Mario 64.
Mm-hmm. And then everything else after that was the 360 world mechanic. It was also only produced by Shigeru Miyamoto, and was done by Gunpei Yokoi, who actually, the father of the Game Boy, essentially. I have the story from the instruction booklet. I will read you rather quickly.
Yes, regale us with this tale.
Danger, danger. While I was away crusading against the mystery alien Tatanga in Sarasa Land, an evil
fucking Tatanga, I forgot about him.
What a douchebag he was. And Sarasa Land is, I guess that's the,
yeah,
that's
Mario the land
in Mario Land.
Yeah.
An evil creep took over my castle and put the people of Mario Land under his control with a magic spell. The intruder goes by the name of Wario. Dun, dun, dun. This is the first introduction of Wario, actually. He has been jealous of my popularity ever since we were boys and has tried to steal my castle many times. It seems he has succeeded this time.
Since when did Mario have a fucking castle?
I don't know. Maybe he just, he just showed up to Peach's castle one day and was just kind of like, bitch, you gotta get out on that motherfucking corner. I gotta kick it in this motherfucker for real.
Put out or get out.
Listen up, bitch. I'm going to chill up in this throne room and eat these motherfucking mushrooms all day. You don't come in here bothering me with your bullshit.
Unless you're baking me a cake.
Yeah. She walks out. Mario just looks at a toad and he's like, no matter how good looking she is, somebody somewhere is sick of her bullshit. Toad's just like, that's right, Mario.
Mario eats some of the shrooms and he gets fucked up and starts eating the toads because they look like mushrooms. Peach walks in and he's just in a fucking pool of blood eating
the toads. Mario's on the bath salts. Mamma mia, I eat this a fucking face off. I'm a Luigi. I ate my brother. But anyways, it seems he has succeeded this time. Wario has scattered the 6 golden coins from my castle all over Mario Land. These golden coins are guarded by those under Wario's spell. Without these coins, we can't get into the castle to deal with Wario. We must collect the 6 golden coins, attack Wario in the castle, and save everybody. It's time to set out on our mission. You return to your castle, and pretty much there's a tutorial level at the very beginning of it. But you play through 6 different zones in the game. It kind of like, Super Mario 3. It's got the overworld map, and you go through. Your first zone is a tree zone, and Mario encounters a shitload of insects and bugs and shit all while scaling across these trees. And each zone has a boss. The first one's a bird you have to jump over and land on. Then you go to the space zone where Mario's fucking around in space and shit. And
he gets up there a lot for a fucking plumber.
Mm-hmm. It must have some hella benefits is all I know.
Like Mario Galaxy, I still love the You Are Mr. Gay thing in Mario Galaxy.
I don't know if I know what
if you
that
look
is.
On the front of Mario Galaxy, like the box art of it, the letters U R MR, GAY all have a star, like, and they're lit up differently. So
oh, that's awesome. I did not know that until now, though.
Yep.
And
they changed it up for Mario Galaxy 2, and I think some fucks on the internet figured out some way to make that into some kind of a homosexual acronym. I don't remember what it was. It was something like I am, or you, or something like that.
I just imagine like a Simpsons thing of Ralphie playing like Super Mario Galaxy, and he just kind of sees it subliminally. I like men now.
Yeah.
The second zone is the space zone, and the final boss of it is actually Tatanga himself.
That fuck, I kicked his ass in Mario Land. He's coming back in
this
shit.
He's the second boss in Mario
Land. He's a bitch boss in this one, then.
Yeah, he is. The macro zone has a sewer rat in it. That's where you get Mario gets shrink.
I think everything else gets big.
Maybe it does.
Because it's macro.
Honey, I shot the kids in the face.
This is what I learned in fucking philosophy class while arguing with the professor what a fucking chair was.
What is a chair, Brandon?
I don't fucking know. I don't fucking care. I just need to go to work.
Yeah, I agree with you. Argue with somebody at work about it tomorrow and tell me how that turns out. Then just go slap your professor and be like, philosophy is bullshit.
I started just getting nervous sweats while this is going on, shaking. Like, if I had to piss off, just like pulled it out and blown my head off right there in class.
The pressure is too much.
Why the fuck am I arguing about this shit? God damn it.
Too much pressure.
Under pressure.
Please don't kill yourself out of frustration.
I mean, right there in the middle of class would be pretty badass, though. Just blow my brains all over the girl behind me.
She's all screaming and shit. I'm like, nobody's worried about your goddamn eyeliner. At least he wrote on his notebook, sorry about the mess. At least he was thoughtful. There's a pumpkin zone with a witch. The turtle zone with a whale. The Mario zone, where you fight the three little pigs. Which is really
odd. I remember
they're
that
like
now.
Pig heads, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, that was weird.
Very odd. And then lastly, Mario's castle, where you take on a Wario himself. Which is kind of a flip because, you know, Super Mario Land 3 was Wario Land.
Yeah.
But the game essentially plays just like any other Mario level. It's got a bell that's used for like the middle of the level checkpoint kind of shit. One power-up that's unique to this game that I really love is there's a carrot. I think it's a carrot, you know. The limited color palette of the Game Boy makes it hard to determine if it's a carrot or a fucking turnip.
Yeah.
I know Mario fucks with both of them, so... the carrot, though, gives you rabbit ears on Mario's hat. And when you jump, you can tap A and it allows you to kind of... It works kind of like the raccoon tail does, mm-hmm. but allows you to fly, to hover to a certain degree for, I think, 4 or 5 taps. And you're able to, like, pretty much... This is one of the first games, too, where you can run and jump and hold up and make Mario jump even higher than normal to access like certain little areas. There's really not much else different, though, than a Mario game. Like this one actually plays more so like a Mario game than the first one or the third one even does, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wario Land doesn't really feel like Mario. It loosely does, I guess.
Yeah.
But not full on. But that's what's in your hands this week.
I was expecting something smelly and slimy. That was pretty good, though.
Pretty good, yeah.
6 golden shillings. 6 hay pennies.
You can gladly pay me now.
Well, what I've played, quote-unquote played this week, because I haven't put much time into it. I've been getting some games in for Game Fest, shit that we're lacking, and I want it there. One of these games was Banjo-Kazooie on the N64. You don't like Banjo-Kazooie?
I've never liked Banjo-Kazooie.
Huh. I mean,
I don't think I've just... Maybe it's because I just haven't spent that much time with it. I owned it for a while and just never could get into it.
So far, I've liked it pretty good. And I liked it back when I was a kid, but I never got huge into it. One thing, it's a 3D platformer, much akin to Mario 64, made by Rare. And, you know, on the N64, if a game was good, chances are it was either made by Nintendo or Rare. They had that shit. Rare is all about the N64.
GoldenEye, Perfect Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the big ones.
Yep.
What? Jet Force Gemini? That was a Rare game, wasn't it?
I think so. Obviously,
if I'm wrong on that.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Diddy Kong Racing.
Diddy Kong Racing, hell yeah.
That was a great one.
And if you've played a lot of these games, you kind of start to recognize a lot of the same technology used across these games. Like Diddy Kong Racing, one of the things I loved about Diddy Kong Racing was the music changed as you went through the open world map. So, like, if you were in the main area, this is the default theme song playing. But if you went into the snow area, the music would just gradually change to have, like, sleigh bells and stuff in it. It was a seamless transition between the different themes of the same song. Which is pretty cool. And Banjo-Kazooie sports that same technology that they developed. They also had another... I can't remember the name of it. It was basically a way for the N64 to draw graphics further than normal. And what it does is, as you get closer to it, it fills in the detail. And you see that it's a really common thing in games, even to this day. Like, items far off will be kind of bland, you know, not very textured. And as you get closer, the textures and stuff load more. That was, to my recollection, Rare came up with that on Diddy Kong Racing. And I'm pretty sure that's incorporated here in Banjo-Kazooie. And it's hard for me to see because there wasn't many times when I had that long of a depth of field to look at. Most of it's... There's a lot of just smaller areas you go across in this game. But anyways, it's a 3D platformer where you take control of Banjo and the bird Kazooie who lives in his backpack. His little sister gets kidnapped by this witch, and you're on a quest to save her.
You gotta go get her.
Yep.
That witch's gonna do some bad things.
And it's very, you know, you could tell they took a lot from Mario 64.
Yeah.
And they were right to do so, because Mario 64 was a fucking brilliant game.
That's like the pinnacle for that era platformers.
Exactly. And that you would go to an area, and you, instead of stars, you collected puzzle pieces, and you could take these puzzle pieces to complete pictures with jigsaw puzzle pieces that unlocked new zones. And in those zones, you collect the same puzzle pieces and stuff like that. The game has a fuck ton of collectibles. I mean, a fuck ton of them. You got the jigsaw puzzles. You've got music notes, which also determine how far you can progress in the open world hub. There's feathers, which helps Kazooie fly. There's eggs for Kazooie to shoot. There's these stupid little, like, dodo bird looking things that if you collect six of them in a level, you get a jigsaw piece. And, like, there's a shitload of side quests that have their own little collectibles. Like, one of the guys, I helped this pirate find his treasure. Well, the treasures were two little collectibles. And once I got them, I gave them to him, and that happened. The music in the game's pretty good. The graphics are gorgeous, because they really capitalize on what the N64 is good at, rendering those real vibrant...
Yeah, it's an extremely colorful game.
Yeah, those vibrant polygonal graphics that Mario 64 looks so great with. And still, so it still looks good to this day, in my opinion. Where the N64 always faltered, and, you know, I've said this ad nauseum, where all the old polygonal consoles faltered is when they tried to aim for realism. They just could not do it. I would argue even, like, games of this day really don't look that great when they aim for hyper-realism.
Yeah.
I mean, they do to us now, but 20 years from now, we're going to be like, oh, that looks like dog shit.
Yeah.
So you kind of, I think it's best for games to go for that artistic style, because it's timeless. So yeah, you go from zone to zone. You collect all these puzzle pieces, and eventually you get to fight the witch. From what I remember, playing this as a kid, you went through some kind of goofy game show thing where you answered questions about the witch. Like you come across her sister.
I think I remember something.
You come across
about
her
that.
Sister, who's a good witch, and she tells you these like you when you're playing this game. She tells you this stupid ass bullshit like. Laffy Taffy joke things almost about the witch, and it's like, oh, did you know her favorite smell is, you know, rotten frog dicks, you know, stuff like that. And you'd be like, why the fuck is she telling
those
me
those are the
this?
Best cons.
Yeah, then why the hell is she telling me this in like every zone in the open world hub? And that's why I use those facts in the game show thing. Trying to think of what else. As you go through the game, you do unlock new moves. A lot of them are Kazooie's moves. There's not that many Banjo moves, at least that I recall. So far from what I've played, there's mostly Kazooie's moves. Kazooie is much more the utility character. Banjo is just your main character walking around being a douchebag. Just bears are dumb. I mean, ain't a whole lot I can say about it other than that. I haven't put a whole lot of time into it because I haven't had a whole lot of time. The other game I played, Star Fox 64, and I sat down.
Very
and,
nice.
I was surprised. I sat down and I beat it in one setting. First time I picked it up after all these years, and I even beat it on the medium course. If you
very nice.
If you look at when you start Star Fox, you always start in the same planet, Corneria. And as you play through this level and all other levels, there's different paths you can take, but you got to keep an open eye out for it. Like in the first level, you end up following Falco. Isn't that his name, Falco?
Yeah.
He's like, follow me, Fox. And if you're quick and you follow him, that takes you to the advanced path on this planet. And every planet or system or whatever... there's shit like that you have to do in order to stay on the advanced path. If you were to stay on the advanced path all the way, and I recall this from when I beat it as a kid, is the final boss, Andreas. Normally when you fight him, he's a giant face. When you blow off his skin, he's like a cyborg underneath it. Where the true Andreas, when you blow up his face...
Me, ain't it?
Yeah, he's a giant brain. So that's the true final boss. The medium and the beginner, whatever you want to call it, paths, it's the untrue ending. You fight the cyborg version of them. But man, the game is so great, though. It still looks great. Still plays. It plays so fucking good.
That would actually be a really cool game if you could get MAME or like emulation down pat. That would be a fun game to play on an arcade cabinet. I think.
Yeah, if you got the controls, joystick, yeah. It is so arcadey. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. So much fun, and it controls so well. I would hope that everyone that listens to it has at least heard of Star Fox. The premise of the game, though, is...
If you haven't, what are you doing with yourself?
Yeah, have you found your way here? It's a 3D third-person... ship shooter, I guess the best way to describe it. You control Star Fox's ship, and your basic moves are you fire your normal gun, and you can hold down your fire button and charge it up, and it comes a little like homing missile type thing, which is very useful. You also have bombs, which if you hold down your charge up to home in with a homing missile, and while you're holding that down, you press your bomb button, it shoots a homing bomb. That's also very handy. You got your left and right tilts, which if you double tap them, you do a barrel roll. You got your brakes, you got your speed up. Then you got right C, which is like you call in supplies in various... You would come across various places throughout all these levels where you see the little left right C thing pop up, and you press it, and the little robot from the ship's like, oh, I'm sending supplies because I'm fucking dumb. Could have sent you to you the entire time, but I want you to press
the
button.
I just decided to do it now out of random bullshittery.
Since I beat it on the middle path, there's three paths as you advance, and it's obviously three lanes. the right most is the easiest, middle is the intermediate, and left is the hardest. And I went through the middle most of the way. I started off on the advanced and fucked up somewhere and got to the middle and stayed on the middle. My favorite level in this game is the sun level. You go on the fly on the surface of a star.
Yeah.
It's just so damn cool doing that because you're always losing health because of the heat. And so it's a constant race of keeping your health up and dodging all kinds of... There's these, like, phoenix spurs flying
out
of the sun.
There's, like, crazy-ass attack patterns on that level.
Yeah, it's all kind of... There's giant tidal waves of plasma. There's this, you know, flaming asteroids flying around you, and the boss is, like, this giant... I want to say plasma insect thing. It's supposedly one of Andross's biological weapons who lives in the star, which, if you think about it, it's really kind of fucking useless because it's lives in a star. Where is he going to go? Who the fuck needs to be on a star?
That's a pretty valid point.
It's like building a goddamn navy down here in Sportsman's Lake. What the fuck you going to do with it?
We throw rocks at meth heads on boats all day. Threat assessment low.
they could have just left this fucking thing alone and no one would have ever cared about it.
My God. I'm still like sitting here thinking about like a fucking, you know, you think cops are abusive down at Smith Lake. Like, wait till the fucking Coast Guard rolls into town. God damn. Not in our waters, motherfucker. Not in our waters.
We ain't got nothing else to do, God damn it, so we're going to take it out on you. But yeah, that's easily one of my most favorite levels. Yeah, also, the Landmaster level.
Oh, yeah.
The Landmaster is the tank form of your R-Wing, I want to say. Is that the name of the ships? I think it's R-Wings.
Oh, man. I think.
I'm pretty sure it's R-Wings. The Landmaster is the tank form, so you're on the ground, and you can hold your left and right rolls to levitate in the air for a short distance. You also got your normal shoot and your homing and your bomb. And it just feels more tanky. Everything hits harder. The tank is obviously slower, and you're landlocked to a degree. But in that particular level, you chase a train, and you just got to blow it the fuck up. And I couldn't tell you which ways gets you in the advanced, the middle path or the beginner path there. I don't fucking recall. At the shit I do, I just play it as a see it. You know, the guy says, hey, do this. I fucking do it.
If your friend tells you to jump off of a bridge, would you?
If he can tell me where the fucking chair is, I will.
Depends on how strong the drugs he gave me are. A real friend wouldn't give you drugs. You're right. A true friend would.
One thing I like about Star Fox is the scoring system is every enemy equals 1 point. So at the end of the game, it gives you like a total score, and that's how many enemies you've killed.
What was your score the other night?
I don't recall. It was nothing impressive. I'm
100
sure.
million.
That was all of them. All of the enemies.
Brandon slaughtered the entire galaxy. Starcock.
And because I didn't beat it on the advanced path at the end of the game, and the ending's kind of fucking shitty. Like, it goes through this almost Star Wars-esque, like, celebration. Everyone's like, oh, Star Fox, you know, you're so cool. We're going to give you medals. And, you know, where Chewbacca, like in Star Wars, where Chewbacca's up there, like, standing beside Han Solo. Why didn't I get a medal?
So pissed off.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're just trying to chase it and chew on it.
You should know you're just a fucking supporting character, Chewbacca. You don't get a medal.
You're pretty much a dog. your hand's best friend.
I tell you what, you get them tapeworms in check. We might get you a medal.
Yeah.
I'm tired of you dragging your ass around the starship.
Wait till Force Awakens. Your best friend's going to be murdered and you get snubbed and don't even get hugged for your sadness. Did you notice that in Force Awakens?
Uh-uh.
After they get back off the planet, you know, after they save Fuck. My mind just went blank. After they save, what's the girl's name? Oh my God.
MacGuffin. She's a MacGuffin. When? She's a plot device.
When they save MacGuffin off of the planet, from Kylo Ray. Ren and she, yeah, when they I was wanting to call her Ren, but I'm like, no, it's Kylo Ren. When they save Rey off the planet, though, and they get back, you know, and Leia realizes Han's dead. Fucking Chewie is literally walking right with Rey by, and Chewie's just like, you know, like all sad. Fucking Princess Leia doesn't even look at Chewie. She just goes and hugs Rey. She's like, I've known you for 40 years, but fuck you. I don't know this girl. I'm probably going to try to lick her snatch later.
Would you hug a Wookiee?
No. You try washing your clothes after hugging a Wookiee. Like, there's not a fucking laundry detergent this side of the galaxy strong enough to get that shit out. You should have checked out these tampons I used at one point in time.
They have these like industrial size lint rollers that looks like the inside of a car wash that you just go through to get all the hair off of you. I don't know, hugged by a Wookiee, 50 cents, please, come on
they
in.
They take all that extra hair. There's a company out in like the fucking outer realm that makes goddamn shag rugs out of it.
Wookiee hair tampons.
Yeah. Comfort so strong, I didn't know that those were the droids we were looking for.
Yes. That was one of our earliest sponsors.
Mm-hmm. And what a good one it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny you say that, because actually, I was thinking about that the other day, and I was pocket dialing a bunch of shit on Google Play and brought up the Wookiee Air Tampon episode 32. For some reason.
But yeah, there's... You beat Star Fox and you get through this shitty celebration, and the dog admiral or whatever, he's like, oh, you're pretty good, you should join the army. And then Star Fox is like, nope, we're mercenaries.
How funny would it be? Just nobody else may think this funny, but as a 90s kid, us as 90s kids, I think, would enjoy this. The fucking... The dog or whatever just looks at Star Fox and is like, only you can take a bite out of crime. Like, so that's what happened to McGruff.
The whole attitude, like this, I don't know, the atmospheric attitude of this reminded me of like a 90s Burger King commercial. Like, you like expect a Star Fox to get on a skateboard and go grab a sweet burger.
Well, that fox has got tude. That's one rad fox. Star Fox Rad Edition. His chip's just like fucking pink and yellow neon. It's like shooting CDs at fucking... I don't know.
That would have been a badass level if R-Wing turns into like a levitating hoverboard and Star Fox is surfing on it and you're blasting all kinds of shit.
That would be pretty amazing.
That would be pretty sweet. But yeah, that's what I've done this week.
I've played some games, but other than all I've really done, I've tried out a bunch of my games for Game Fest and got some of my shit cataloged. I did find time to start playing a game. You witnessed me playing some of it earlier.
Yeah, and I remember playing this some at friends' houses because I never had a Genesis as a kid. But yeah, it seemed like a game I could get into.
I'm not 100%, but there's also an NES port of this.
I bet that'd be awful.
I know the game I'm talking about is the Immortal for Sega Genesis, but there's also
for
Sega Genesis. Oh Lord. Well, I knew there was something in the air, but there's also a game for NES called the Immortal, and I don't know if it's the same game or not, but I think it is. I have a clip of the Immortal soundtrack that I won't play while we briefly talk about this, because it's a pretty tough game.
I can find a physical copy of it, because I want to check it out. And
it actually looks like I was getting really frustrated earlier, but I think if I had like a fucking instruction booklet and shit.
Yeah, just some basic instructions. I wouldn't want a guide for it because that would ruin the fun of it to me.
I couldn't figure out how to do the combat very effectively.
Yeah. You figured out how to die in combat pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was good at that. One cool thing is a pretty metal fucking game. Oh. I love the names of the tracks for the soundtrack. It's Where Am I? Troll War. Troll Territory. Throne. The Dragon. Puzzle. Lower Level. I Forbid You to Come Any Closer. Teeny Tiny. Spores. Spider Lair. Egg. Dream. Death of the Goblin King. Pretty sure that happened earlier in the year.
Yeah, it did. Took me a second.
I'm glad you got it.
Beware of the one too many plums.
In more ways than one. I'm gonna find that the first level. Yes, yeah. This is it.
Fucking like 80s sci-fi.
This game is It's by Electronic Arts, come out in 1990. It's like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, I guess. Isometric view.
You start out as a wizard.
Despite it being like 15 frames per second, it is pretty sweet looking.
You immediately start out in a room where a candle magically comes to life with a face, and this face recognizes you as being another wizard, but it's not you. He calls you another name, and it's just pretty much like, you must free me from my prison, blah, and disappears. So as this wizard, you go on in this dungeon, and
tell them what happens if you fuck around in that room.
If you fuck around in the beginning room, there's a certain, you can tell by tiles on the floor. Like, if tiles are a different color or something, it can be a trap. There are traps laden
all
over this game. Makes me kind of think a lot Dragon's Lair style.
Yeah.
Doesn't take but just a second to fuck up when you're done. There's a tile you stand on at the beginning in the room, and it's like a text box come on the screen. It's like, I don't know if I would stand on this spot very much longer if I was you. And if you ignore it and stand there, this giant fucking Beetlejuice looking sandworm comes out of the floor and just like grabs you and smacks you against the floor and pulls you underground. It like immediately kills the fuck out of you.
I like how most of the deaths in this game are pretty brutal.
Oh,
especially for that time.
The combat, man. If you manage to kill something in combat, which is so far to me extremely fucking difficult, it has some of the most brutal kills. You have a wizard staff, and one of the next room you go into, immediately you find a dead body. You search it and you find a key and like a scroll that allows you to shoot 3 fireballs. Well, you can shoot these fireballs and incinerate these goblins instantly, or you can actually approach them and go to like a weird swapping blows back and forth kind of combat screen.
Yeah.
And if you manage to kill this goblin, it has multiple ones, but there's one where he smacks this fucking goblin on the head with his magical staff, and this goblin's head swells up like a water balloon and just fucking pops.
Yeah.
And like, it is extremely bloody for a fucking very Genesis gory game. You can take a knife and like just fucking lay people in half and shit. Seen him like light one on fire and just make it like turn to ashes and just.
There was like a lightning death too, was it?
Yeah, there's one where a guy got like lightning struck 3 or 4 times and it just like burns him. He just like lays there and smolders a little bit. A lot of the game so far, I mean, like I said, I haven't made it past level 2. It involves you picking up shit and using. And it's kind of confusing at
first.
There's
a lot of trial and error.
You find an amulet in the first level that you have to, there's like a beam of light, and you have to use this amulet to deflect the beam of light onto a certain tile on the floor to open the ladder to take you down to level 2, essentially.
But if you read the runes on the amulet, the universe implodes.
Yeah. It'll ask you every time you use it if it's like, do you want to use the amulet? You pick yes or no, then it'll be like, do you want to go ahead and read the rune now? And I accidentally clicked yes earlier, and it literally just makes the screen just flash abruptly and just goes to black. And it's like, game over. Sorry, fuckwad. Shouldn't have read the runes.
It wasn't as quick as Copenhagen. You shouldn't have fucked with it.
Yep, that's your fault. It's your fault for being just plumb stupid. But You get down the second level, and pretty much there's a goblin king and two guards down there, and these little slime things that just envelope you and kill you instantly. You have to buy some slime coating for your boots from a bard who's sitting on his ass drunk playing air guitar in this fucking dungeon. He's like, 80 coins. You're like, I don't have 80 coins. You're like, 60 coins. Fuck it. I'm not hard to work with here. See,
who else is going to come down here and buy for me?
Shit. Listen to this sweet ass shredding I'm doing. And you buy this shit, though, and you go, you get a bag of spores. And you go into this room where this king and his two guards are standing, and there's a dirt plot. You have to walk real easily so you don't tip the guards off over to this dirt plot, and you plant these spores.
Then you get the fuck out of
you
the dodge.
You immediately run out of the room, and when you come back, these spores grow on these death mushrooms, and everybody in the room is just fucking dead. Like, the king's crown's like laying over, gets walled. He's all like half dying. You give him water, and he's like, there's three gems, and they dies and shit. And that's as far as I've got. I got two gems and I need three to put in these little pentagram things to open up a door or something.
One thing I like is when you sleep is some sweet ass like speed metal
music.
I wanted
to find it. There's got to be Dream. Maybe it's Dream.
It's probably Dream. Yep, that's it. I dream this every time I go to sleep.
Oh, I'm that witch. Time down. From the mountain.
It's like shitty black metal.
Singing about wizards and shit, like a blind guardian or something like that.
And the wizard came down the valley, smote the goblins. He burned off the goblins' nuts with his fire. Here comes the wizard and his magical fire rod.
I can fucking get down on some music like that, though.
I could, too.
I fucking love it.
Maybe that should be, like, what I should do.
Like, I think Blind Guardian's Gandalf's Rebirth is a pretty bitchin' song.
I don't think I've heard that.
It's pretty good.
I haven't listened to a lot of Blind Guardian. I've always really dug like their album art and shit because it's always like real crazy.
Yeah.
Wizard fights.
They did the sound or some of the music for Sacred 2.
Oh, really?
Game. Yeah. There's actually side quests where you, it's been so long since I played this, but you ended up killing like some guys. I don't know if they were like monster incarnations of the Blind Guardian band or something, but you get like some weapons that are like guitars and shit. And eventually goes to this like really shitty CGI music video of all these monsters like moshing out and the Blind Guardians up there playing. It's nice. Awful but awesome.
I'm going to make a note of that. I'll have to look that up tonight. I don't know why I'm sneezing all of a sudden.
Dicks.
I'm glad you didn't bless me though.
I mean, I'd get rebuked. I don't know.
Maybe you should just, every time I sneeze, you're like, I'll condemn you. Oh, praise be, Lord, Dark Master. When the first ruin comes and the first 10,000 walk through the gate, you'll be spared. Well, thank you. I'm kind of just curious before we close the mortal out, what the audio track Barrel Ride is about.
That's obviously a throwback to The Hobbit. It's pretty dreadful. Ominous.
Man, one thing, like, Sega music, especially Sega Genesis music, has always been, you know, kind of notorious for not being as good as SNES and all that. I will say, though, as far as, like, horror games and, like, darker-themed games, Sega music had that shit on point. Like, Shocking.
The Forever Man.
The one game that I don't think I know one single person on the planet that has beaten.
No, it's kind of like Castlevania, except your character takes up two-thirds of the screen, so you can't dodge anything.
It's really hard. we'll actually probably talk about it at some point, but the music in that game is fucking great.
It is.
Because it's all like fucking evil power metal. Pretty good shit. That's all I've been playing, though. Diddling with the immortal.
Diddling.
Just a little diddling.
Death comes at every corner of that game.
The Immortal was actually a PC game, according to this.
Okay.
It was an Amiga game and PC, and it was made by Will Harvey. Do you know him? You ever heard of him?
No.
Okay. Me neither.
I could have swore it was a Genesis game, too. Oh, well.
They ported it to Genesis.
Okay.
In 91. It was a port. Yep. Yep. They're actually, that NES one I was talking about is a port too.
On how about
NES.
That? It's gotta be god awful.
It has to be bad. I'm really curious because, I mean, the Genesis one it's not terrible. It's not up to par, but it's not.
It's playable.
Yeah, it's very playable. I'm just gonna.
It don't look that bad.
Wow. No, it doesn't. Man, that's actually kind of close to the Genesis one. Just
that's
I mean,
that's impressive for the NES. Holy shit!
I know Replays in Decatur had a couple of copies of this a few weeks ago, and I didn't get it because I was like, I don't know what it is.
I imagine this game's fairly cheap.
Oh yeah, they were only like $8 a piece. Hey, on our trip to Huntsville tomorrow, I'm gonna have to swing by.
I want to bring
Classic Game Vault or something. I know they had it there, too.
We need to spread some flyers and stuff and talk about some vendor stuff, too, with these people. So we'll get something done.
Be a good idea. I'm really... That's really surprising. So check out The Immortal. It's a frustrating thing, but it's...
If you dig old school, like D&D, Eye of the Beholder style RPGs, at least that level of difficulty, check it out. I'm definitely going to have to get a big copy of it because it's got me intrigued now since I've been with you playing it some.
It's pretty nifty. I really like the Sega Genesis box art. It's like the fucking Reaper screaming in front of a thunderstorm.
That's the cool thing about the Genesis. I can probably find a CIB copy pretty cheap.
Oh, yes. Now is the time to collect for Genesis.
It is.
It is. Man, I just found out. Video game or Coleman. It's got I got a stack of Sega CD games in. I really want to go pillage through them. That's my area of expertise in Sega collecting.
Not mine.
I know a lot of people's like, have fun with that asshole. And I'm like, at least it's not laser discs. You know, like, it can always be worse.
Well,
I don't know. What else? We had a question. We ain't got no calls this week, do we?
I don't know. I haven't checked it because it's really hard. My phone is fucked right now. So it's really hard for me to do anything unless I'm on my PC.
Well, look. Do you remember the question from last week?
No. So I've barely even had time to listen to the full episode because, I've been listening to my lectures.
It was, what's the best just random game, pick up and play game you've ever discovered? Like, just something you didn't expect to be anything?
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any calls, actually. So, fuck all y'all. No, we do, I think Mike gave us an answer on the Facebook page. I just gotta pull it up now.
For me, I'm trying to think of the name of it now. God damn it.
Mike McDaniel. His answer. Here's my answer for what is most surprising pickup and play game. This sounds dumb, but Viva Pinata was the first 360 games I bought for my kids. I ended up doing most of the work on that game for them in co-op. Ended up playing it even after they went to sleep, and eventually I unlocked all the achievements. I think hunting the achievements was a big factor in that a gamer can score on Xbox Live was new and initially something I cared about. Regardless of all that, though, for a Pokemon ripoff, Viva Pinata was a great game that did what it set out to do very well. Expanding the garden and discovering little secrets was actually really endearing. My daughter occasionally still plays it.
Nice.
Very nice. Sorry to faff your question up because I'm going blind and cannot read, apparently. But thank you for the answer, Mike. Thank you for being the only answer other than ours. I think my favorite pick-up and play game that just kind of threw me for a loop was Chameleon Twist on N64. That was one I got by default and thought it would be kind of a shitty game and ended up really, really enjoying it.
I'm still trying to find the name of this game. I did a hot and steamy on it before.
Uh-oh.
But I can't think of the name of it because I'm an idiot.
You're not an idiot.
I'm pretty much an idiot.
You don't give yourself enough credit.
I gave myself plenty of credit in the field of idiocy.
Well, that is a non-idiotic statement. Or is it?
Ziggurat on the PC and 360, and I think PS3 maybe.
Never heard of that.
It is a first-person dungeon crawler that's also a roguelike game in that it's all randomly generated. And because everything's randomly generated, every time you play the game, and unlike with No Man's Sky, there's enough randomization that it's a complete new playthrough basically every time you play it. Yeah, it's very, very fast-paced. I would say it controls similar to Unreal or Quake or something like that. I love that fast, kinetic gameplay that. And it's first person. You got a wand, and you can pick up a handful of spells along the way, and you have like three or four different types of manas for these different schools of spells. And different rooms have different shit in them. You know, it could be waves of enemies. It could be a treasure. It could be like this, you know, I think there's some things where you can like trade life, like your maximum health for, you know, other bonuses, shit like that. There's also various different classes that have slight tweaks to how they work. I know some of them have like a much better default wand spell, but they can't use the other schools of magic, stuff like that. It's really good just to pick up, fucking play for 20 minutes and put down. And it's cheap as shit. You can get it, you know, I don't know how much, but I'm sure I didn't pay more than like $2 for this at one point. It's real, real cheap, real fun. It doesn't require a huge time investment, and it plays fun enough that it's just instantly enjoyable. So
nice. Well, very detailed, well-rounded answer.
Yeah, it only took me 20 minutes.
That's okay. It all takes us a little
time. We need a new question.
We do.
You know, we're always scrounging for questions, and we've always avoided some of the like, low-hanging fruit, I think. So let's try this. What is your favorite N64 game and why? Yep. We can just do system-specific questions.
That's true. That's a good one. I have a feeling there's going to be some N64-themed episodes in the future because that's kind of... I'm wanting to go back. There's a lot of shit I miss on N64. Yeah. I end up... A lot of my attention shifted to PlayStation 2 and PlayStation at that point in time, unfortunately, but... I don't know. I've always had a 64, but I just feel like there's a bunch of shit I've missed.
You know, the 64, in that era, the 64 was my system, but money was a thing. And, you know, I know I missed out on a lot just because I was a kid. And 64 games weren't exactly cheap usually.
I may be wrong, but were they $70 when they first came out?
60 or 70, 60? Which back in, you know...
Well, inflation, that's like $100 now.
Yeah.
Bummer. But, yeah.
Though I do remember... Back when the N64, well into the N64's lifespan, the old Walmart in Coleman, where Walgreens is now.
I bought many a game there.
Yeah, they had, even well into the N64's lifespan, they still had a Earthbound and Super Mario RPG full retail price for fucking ever. They never put that shit on clearance. Like, I was so ready to just go in there and fucking buy those up. Because I love those games so much. I would have bought, if they put them in a $5 bin, I would have bought all of them. Not even caring that, you know, investment wouldn't have been on my mind. It's just, I fucking love them games. I would have bought them all. And there's $60 all day. So, that sucked. You know, most stores, they'll throw them in bargain bins eventually. Not that one.
Yeah, I know. I got a buddy... He's actually got like five. He's hoarding them, but fuck him. But I mean, don't blame him. He's got like five sealed gold or collector's edition Majora's Masks sealed. And what it was is he went to KB Toys and Decatur when they were going out of business and bought them for like $7 a piece.
Nice.
Each one of them. He just kept all of them. I don't blame him. I'd do the same thing.
I would have got rid of some, but...
Well, I think he's kind of holding on to him for a big, you know, for something big, because his collection ain't really nothing to fuck with. He makes my shit look like one of these people at the flea markets, like, I'll suck your dick from Game of Games. You know, that crazy guy down... There's a I ain't gonna make fun of him too hard, but there's a really crazy he'll have eyes kind of family down at Lakeland.
Does one of the guys have like three fingers in one hand and raises chickens?
Maybe. They look like somebody would do that. Every time you go to buy something from them, he'll look at you and go, "And what's your name?" He'll ask you your name. And dude, I've bought like
Dale.
Three or four things. I always give him a fake name. I told him my name was Lucius. He's like, "And what's your first name?" Is like, "Lucius." He's like, "Lucius." I'm like, "Lucius." Just like walk on. He's that guy. I was telling you, he had a fucking Final Fantasy II out there that had like an $8 sticker on it, and I was like, "Oh shit, fuck yeah!" Done had $10 out, going to give him. He's like, "You and I both know that ain't an $8 game. That's about a $45 game." I'm like, "Well, you got fucking $8 on it then?" He's like, "Somebody must have swapped the price tags." I'm like, "Okie dokie." I was like, kind of like you got $2 on a boxed Earthworm Jim sitting right there, you know, like,
yeah.
"What's your name again, motherfucker?" Like, Ulysses. It's always a weird situation down there at that place.
But yeah, give us a call, 682-777-4663.
Nobody called us, so officially all pussies have withered to stone.
Yep.
All of our fathers are being gang raped by Satan right now.
Yep, infants are falling from the sky. My insurance does not cover that on my vehicles, unfortunately.
It is fun to drive around while happening and observe.
It is pretty cool.
I've never seen... Kind of look like little watermelons exploding all over the road.
What's the difference between a dead baby and a watermelon?
I don't know.
One is fun to hit with a sledgehammer, and the other is a watermelon.
I just imagine Gallagher like looking out from behind a curtain. I want to smash some babies and fruit.
If you want to help us with the Game Fest in any way, let us know. Contact us on the Facebooks or podcasts at goodoldgamers.com, any of that kind of stuff.
Yep. You can follow us. Do you want to play one of the jingles before we go?
Sure.
Maybe we should start a rap themed version of that.
And we should.
Like 682-777 Hood.
The Hood Old Gamers.
The Hood Old Gamers. That'd be like a sideshow. Oh, that could be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
All they play is GTA 5. That is it.
No, San Andreas.
San Andreas. Yeah, I've been working my motherfucker out. Yeah, you're bigger than a motherfucker. That's terrible.
What it is.
What it do. Tell them how it is, not how it was. There was something I was going to say before that. Adam, that actually wrote that jingle for us and the other jingle, his band, Hypatient, is actually opening for Bit Brigade September 26th in Birmingham.
What venue?
Saturn.
Okay.
Bit Brigade will be performing Mega Man 2 at Saturn.
Nice.
That night. So, I'm going to be attending. I'm probably going to go and pass some of our flyers out. Maybe try to score us something from them for the podcast for later. Who knows? Could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find out about all that shit. You can find our episodes and all that at goodoldgamers.com, Facebook, Good Old Gamers Podcast. Fucking, you know where to find us. iTunes.
You've obviously found us this far.
Yeah, so. You know the drill. once again, glad Brandon's back this week.
Yep.
And since he is back and we're now going back away, you sign us off.
Game over, man. Game over.
I can feel it.